Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. On today's edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, I'm welcoming in Miss Raquel Pretty Beast Miller. That's right. We are going to boxing. Now, I know the big news with HBO canceling boxing hurt a lot of people, but guess what? We are not canceling it on this very show. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Individual of the Week, where today I'm glad to be welcoming in a man who is truly changing the lives of many individuals within the DMV area. So without further ado, I would like to welcome on Mr. Dominique Graham. It is an honor and pleasure, everyone. You are listening to Dominique Graham, the owner of Champ Time Fitness, located here in Washington, D.C. And Dominique, you have done so many different things on the sports realm. But for people that don't know, as the owner of Champ Time Fitness, tell us a little bit about the motivation for you even founding Champ Time Fitness back in 2015.
Well, for me, for the most part, I was always a strength coach and a personal trainer. But in 2015, I wanted to kind of personalize my training a little bit more so I could focus more so on inner city youth. So what I do, I use my program to help under-resourced student athletes kind of fill that void so we can help get them to college for free.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And then Washington, D.C., why did you choose this to be the location of your gym?
Well, I'm from here. You know, I'm from here.
Yeah, and I love it. Native giving back.
Yeah, I'm from here. And, you know, in D.C., there isn't a sports performance facility that inner city youth can go to evolve. You know, we have different trainers. We have different gyms. But specifically for inner city youth, there isn't a sports performance facility. So I'm in the works of trying to make history by doing that right now. So I've just been planting the seed so that can happen.
Nice, nice. And then I also understand you also have a separate program that's under your gym called the DC Elite Champs Program. So give me a little bit more background and information about the special program that you do.
Right. So the DC Elite Champs Program is just an umbrella of the Champ Time Fitness brand. The DC Elite Champs Program is a student athlete mentorship program. So basically what we do, we assist in maximizing the athletic and academic potential of each student athlete. And our program is built on three pillars of success, you know, moral excellence, academic excellence, and physical excellence. So what we do, we try to hold them accountable to this standard for their 4 years of high school so that they then can go into college for free by way of athletic or academic scholarship.
I like it. I like it. I just have to ask you, because this is a big debate right now. There are some parents that say we're spending too much time preparing children for sports scholarships and not focusing on the academic side. What would you say to that parent with what your program will do to still help prepare the student for college?
Well, first and foremost, I believe that academics should be first. You know, student never comes before athlete. So I think it's very important to find that balance of where you can thrive in both the classroom and also in your respective sports. So in terms of our program, we try to find that balance where we can help motivate their students to be all that they can be in the classroom, but also evolve their genetic potential so that they can succeed in their sport as well. So it's a great balance, but you got to have the academics first, because you can be the best athlete, but without the grades, you know, you're not going to maximize your where you can go.
Yes. And like I said, I love it. You're putting the student and athlete. And while we're talking about this program, I'm just curious, do you have any success stories off the top of your head of anybody that successfully went through your program that's currently now in college?
Yes. Right now, I would say one of my biggest success stories is a young man by the name of DeAndre Thomas. I met him about 2 years ago, and at the time, he was just trying to find himself. He was trying to find himself, and he's a perfect example of going through our program, trusting the process from an academic standpoint and an athletic standpoint. And now he's the starting quarterback at Norfolk State University. So, you know, it shows that, you know, if you're relentless and you're resilient, you know, you can get to where you want to go. You know, at one point in time, this particular young man had no idea where he would wind up or what he would be doing. So to see him, you know, just last week I saw him playing on ESPN. So those type of things are the reason why we do what we do, so that we can, you know, be able to make that difference in these students' lives and for them to make an impact.
Yes, making a difference in the student lives, and wishing him the best of luck at Norfolk State University. And Dominic, I also understand you're a man of quotes. I also love quotes, and I live by certain quotes, but I understand yours to live by is, to be number one, you have to train like you're number two. Give me a little bit more meaning for the people who might not be woke yet from the inspiration behind this quote.
Right. So for the most part, I heard that quote when I was in high school. At the time, I was running track and field. And the quote pretty much means to me that when you're in second place, it always gives you that hunger and that fight to want to be the best. So you're always striving to get to that next level. When you're in first place, you're kind of complacent. You know, you're already on top. You're already where you want to be. There's no real hunger unless you're just a special type of person. So I like to follow the quote to be number one, train like you're number two, because it always keeps you hungry. It always keeps you motivated to get to that next point. So I believe if you're in the right frame of mind that you're not where you want to be, you'll always remain hungry so that you can get to that next level.
Yes, remaining hungry to get to the next level. I think that's the inspiration I've seen a lot of us that are hopefully living out our dreams, or at least working towards making our dreams a reality. And getting back to you, my last question for you, I always hear, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things in the community. I always personally love hearing why personally do you like giving back to your community?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. The phone kind of went in and out.
I'm sorry. No problem. So we'll cut this part. Okay. So, Dominic, I now have to ask you, why particularly is giving back to the community meaningful for you? Why is it so important for you personally to give back?
Yeah, I mean, that question is pretty easy. You know, I genuinely believe that, you know, my calling is to serve people. You know, I love helping people. You know, something that's very important to me is leaving a positive legacy in D.C., but also not only, you know, setting a proper example for the next generation. You know, I think I want to bring back, you know, positive role models. You know, there are not enough role models for our student athletes and also for our youth in its entirety. So I want to be that positive role model that students can look up to, but also want to be that person that can make quality change in the city that I'm from and then also other cities to help, you know, evolve the future generations. And it starts with one person. You know, it starts with one person. So I believe if I just put my best foot forward and I'm, you know, moving wholeheartedly without ill intentions, you know, it'll come back. So that's why it's important to me. I love helping people. I love serving people. And I think that, you know, each student athlete that we get to touch, you know, helps us reach their goal.
Yes, reaching that goal. And I can just hear your passion for it. Again, you guys are listening to Dominic Grimm, the owner of Champ Time Fitness. And before I let you go, can you give the people, how can they get in contact with you and how can they be a part of some of the great things that you're doing, both your program and a part of your gym?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can find me. The easiest way to find me is on my website, champtimefitness.com, C-H-A-M-P-T-I-M-E, fitness.com. I also have a business Instagram, and I have a Twitter. My Twitter is champtimefit, C-H-A-M-P-T-I-M-E-F-I-T. My Instagram is champtimefitness. So I'm very, very easily reachable, and, you know, feel free to reach out to me.
Perfect. Well said. And also the address, where is your gym located for those in the D.C. area?
Yes, we are off of 4th and Varnum Street, 4301 4th Street Northwest, off of 4th and Varnum Street. So we're very accessible right in the heart of the city, right in the heart of Northwest. If you want to maximize your true potential, be sure to reach out, and I believe that we can help you.
Nice. And before I let you go, you talked about legacy and you want it to be positive in D.C. What do you want your legacy to be here in the city?
My legacy that I want it to be is that, you know, he gave his 100% all to the student athletes, and he was extremely passionate about what he does. So, you know, I want to be known for giving my all and being one of the best to ever do it.
One of the best to ever do it. Dominique Graham, thank you so much for joining me, and congrats once again for earning my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Individual of the Week. For those of you listening, stay tuned because we will be right back.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Dot Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Dot Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond, presented right here by Fox Sports Radio. And today, I'm excited to welcome in a female doing it big in the boxing scene, and Miss Raquel Pretty Beast Miller. Raquel, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to have you. It's a true honor and pleasure. And if you don't mind, I'd like to run through your bio for people that might not know enough about you just yet.
Awesome.
Perfect. So Raquel Pretty Beast Miller is a native of San Francisco Bay Area, and she is on a mission to become one of the greatest women boxers ever to lace them up. So yes, remember this name. She's currently signed to Lou DiBella Boxing Promotion and is ranked number one in the USA and number three in the world. She's trailblazing, of course, on the right path. Raquel's moniker, Pretty Beast, is a true representation of her inside and outside of the ring. Outside of the ring, she is a community activist, which, yes, we can never have enough of, and a co-founder of Ladies in Power. Yes, I love that name, a nonprofit organization. She's also a personal trainer, so hit her up, everyone in California, and she's a motivational speaker, as well as a brand ambassador inside the ring. She's all business, of course, and channels her inner Muhammad Ali, yes, rip to the greatest, believing she can be the greatest if she continues to work hard and believe in herself. What an introduction, Raquel. First of all, I'm so excited to have you join me from the San Francisco Bay Area. But my first question is pretty easy. I mean, how did you first get into boxing?
Actually, boxing for me was pretty much a given. I've always been very athletic. I've always really been into being, you know, competitive, and I like sports. So for me, boxing, and I've always kind of been tapped into how to fight. So for me, it was really just a challenge to see how far I could actually take it. And then also, I just really wanted to kind of step up my fitness routine. I went into the boxing gym. I kind of started a class, and it just kept evolving. And I just kind of fell in love with the sport. And, you know, here I am today. So it really was just a kind of combination of timing, something I've always loved, being focused and being, you know, on the right path, and it just kind of started unfolding from there.
Yes, and then Raquel, I know your nickname is Pretty Beast. I have to ask you, I know we talk about this with Ronda Rousey and people like that a lot, but do you believe there's like a connotation behind women being pretty, I guess, in boxing? Because I think so much of the time when people think of a boxer, unfortunately, they have the stereotypical way a boxer should look and feel. I mean, how have you learned to kind of own that name and really show it doesn't matter what you look like, you can be dominant in boxing?
Yes, there's definitely, you know, some issues in regards to women and their looks and when they're in like masculine sports. And for me, I just realized that you can do whatever you want to do. You can actually be, you know, a really dominant boxer, but then still like your heels and your lipstick. And I just felt like it's time to not put labels on women and not put labels on people. You don't have to look a certain way to be awesome at something. And I think that that's kind of how I started really growing in regards to learning to own my name. Like, you know, no, I'm a pretty beast because when I'm in the gym, I'm all business. But when I get out of the gym, you know, I am definitely going to throw on my Fendi, you know, high heels and get my hair popping. And I don't want to look like a boxer to be a bad boxer. You know what I mean? Like, I can be amazing and you still look like, wow, you box? And I always want to be able to get that.
Yes, I love it. And that's what I try to always say. You can be a woman that does both, and you're a true living and breathing example of that. And I also understand you are the first female to box on a Roc Nation Sports boxing event. So how did that come about?
That was awesome. That was credit to my first manager. He's pretty awesome. And then also to Andre Ward. I'm from the Bay Area, and I've been blessed to have a lot of support and a lot of people that come off to support me at home. So it was just kind of like right timing situation. And it was often just a trailblaze for women to be able to kind of step it up a level and show them that, no, we belong here. We belong in the big stadiums and we belong on the big cards. And so it was just kind of like luck and then also hard work mixed with right timing. And, you know, yeah. I was able to, you know, get on a Live Nation card, and it was awesome. I got the win that night. All of my family was there.
Congratulations.
You know, my girls were all there and came out of the station. Yeah. So it was awesome. I was excited, and, you know, I just hope to keep trailblazing for the women.
Nice. And speaking of trailblazing for the women, you're currently 5-0 with 3 knockouts. So just tell me, who so far has been the hardest challenger that you have faced?
So I'm 7-0 now. So, woo!
Oh, 7-0. So this is an update, okay, everybody? This is an update to the bio. 7-0, congratulations.
I honestly think that I have 7 fights now. I think that every fight is different. I think that everyone you step in the ring with, you have to respect, because no one comes to lose. And it's a fight. One punch can change the whole dynamics of it. So I feel like, you know, I can't say one fight that was harder than the other. I can just say that, you know, it's a challenge every time you go into camp and you're putting your body through workouts for 2 and 3 workouts a day, 6 hours a day, 7 hours. So I just think that mental toughness is what gets me over that edge every time. And I don't take anybody lightly. Every time I'm training to win, I'm training for someone that wants to, you know, take my spot, and I'm not giving it up.
Right. I mean, that's the best way to look at it. And we're hoping, we want to continue to see you propel and grow in this sport. And speaking of that, I understand that you want to be the greatest, like Muhammad Ali. Tell me a little bit, why is he your inspiration as a boxer?
I feel like, for me, Muhammad Ali is my inspiration because he was able to do things on his own terms. And he wasn't afraid to be his own man and not allow society to define him. You know, he stood up one time when everyone wanted to sit down. He spoke up about things that was very uncomfortable. And it took for him to, you know, for years later, for him to become this, you know, inspiration to everyone. But at the time, you know, he was shamed and he was, you know, thought of as being a troublemaker and so forth.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just about being your own person and not being afraid to walk in your own truth. And what that means for me is like, okay, how do I, you know, speak to these ladies about why it's important to go into the gym with your head high in confidence and not feel like you have to be in competition with some of the men. And it's not about women versus men, but it's about feeling like I deserve to be here. I'm going to own this. I shouldn't be able to, you know, come into a place and kind of feel like I have to shrink in order to fit in. Like, you don't.
Right.
I don't have to define, you know, I'm going to speak about the things that matter to me. I'm going to speak about the pay disparities in my sport. I'm going to speak about the lack of opportunities that we get. But I'm also going to keep trailblazing forward, and I'm not going to allow that to stop me. But I'm not going to be afraid to voice my opinion about it either.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's huge. I was on a panel 2 weeks ago at the University of Maryland, and we're talking about athletes and activism. And that's what I'm hearing from you and why you draw inspiration from Muhammad Ali. And then you, too, are a community activist. I have to ask you this. You're in the Bay Area. And, of course, the name that comes to mind immediately is Colin Kaepernick, since the San Francisco 49ers are the last team that he played with. And, of course, the big news this week was Eric Reed, his teammate, that was the second person to kneel next to him because of the injustices that African Americans face. He just got signed to a team. He got signed to the Carolina Panthers. But that being said, I have to just ask you, are you ever scared of the backlash that will come with being an activist, as we see Colin Kaepernick has faced and some other athletes who have decided to stand up in today's world and say, no, something's not right? Are you ever scared of that backlash?
That's a very good question. Actually, I feel like it's both ways. I won't say you're afraid of it, but the powers that be have the, you know, power to silence you. Just being truthful. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of going back to the Muhammad Ali thing, with being able to live in your truth and just say, you know, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to say what I need to say or what I feel that's needed. And I'm going to be okay with whatever comes with it, you know, be it good or bad, because if we don't push the envelope, if we don't speak up, if I don't say anything, then how do I make it better for the young women that are looking up to me and that are coming after me? So, no, I'm not afraid. I'm cautious and I'm aware that, you know, it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be a walk in the park. But I feel like I didn't sign up for pretty. I'm a boxer for a reason. You know, I've always been strong. I've always been, you know, a strong-willed person. And, you know, I have to, like I said, I have to do what feels right to my soul. So at the end of the day, when my career is over, because I'm only going to be a boxer for a period of time, I can be proud of the person that I am, the choices that I've made and the things that I stood up for and talked about and brought awareness to.
Yes. Yes, very well said, very well said. And just staying on that, so also in the headlines, boxing was in the news because, I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you have this week, but it was trending on social media because HBO had a huge announcement and they released a statement that basically said this: going forward in 2019, we will be pivoting away from programming live boxing on HBO. As always, we will remain open to looking at events that fit our programming mix. This could include boxing, just not in the foreseeable future. So this shocked a lot of people. I mean, it's going to basically end the network's 45 years of covering the sport. When I think of boxing, HBO immediately comes to mind. I mean, how do you think this will change the boxing world with a huge TV person like it, HBO, saying we're not going to anymore broadcast live boxing? I mean, how do you think that kind of will shake up the boxing world?
I honestly feel like that, you know, it's not something that that's very surprising to me. I feel like the culture is changing. I feel like, you know, a lot of people are into our streaming and online services. I feel like some of the local channels are able to really broadcast boxing, which gives us the feel of, you know, everyday TV as opposed to it always having to be pay-per-view. So I don't really feel like it will hinder boxing in the sense. I just feel like times are changing. Online streaming is big. A lot of people want to be mobile with their phones and not necessarily glued to the TV at home. And so I'm not looking at it as a negative. I just think that it's a, you know, it's changing up the times. And now, you know, different outlets are able to stream fights. You have YouTube, you have Facebook, you're going to have Instagram probably soon, you know, going live, you know, having partnerships with big sporting corporations. So I just feel like it's just progression for the, you know, progression, and it's just the changing of the times and what we're living in. And I feel like HBO is kind of like near and dear to my heart because I grew up watching it with my mom and watching really good fights. And I really had, you know, dreams and goals of fighting on HBO, especially considering that my promoter was a big part of Boxing After Dark on HBO and creating that. But I feel like, you know, when one door closes, you know, five open. So, you know, never know. I might even start my own streaming company and stream my own life, you know, become my own boss in that sense. So, new opportunities arise.
And that was not to damper, of course, anything, but I wanted to put that out there because it really, I mean, like you, I grew up watching boxing on HBO, and not to damper anybody's thoughts, but I still want to say this. Showtime, of course, who televises boxing as well, they've been televising bouts since 1986, and they've really become kind of a major player in the boxing world. And remember, in 2013, they struck a deal with Floyd Mayweather. And then also last month, if you remember, Showtime announced a 3-year extension with Premier Boxing Champions, which of course represents several of the top current boxers, and of course, British boxing promoter Eddie Hearn's company, Matchroom Boxing. They also signed a $1 billion deal to televise pay-per-view bouts over the next 8 years. And then as well as ESPN, they reached a 7-year deal with promoter Top Rank to televise boxing on its various outlets. And then also Fox Sports just signed a deal with PBC. So boxing is still there. It's not going anywhere. And as you said, I think streaming is a new wave. I mean, we see Twitter pairing up with the NFL and you have live games on Twitter and things like that. So I think boxing is going to get into that next, and you're right. I don't think it's going anywhere. We just watch sports differently now. Everything is changing as we get more digital and as we get more virtual. And I just think this is very curious. So some people say, like with Floyd, of course, announcing that he's going to come back and fight Manny Pacquiao. And so many people say the future of boxing is on Floyd Mayweather. What do you think about that?
I disagree. I feel like there's a lot of up-and-coming talent. I feel like the sport is in good hands right now. And quite frankly, I feel like I will be okay with Floyd staying retired. You know, give the new breed, you know, a chance to shine and, you know, pass on the torch. I feel like a lot of people argue that he made the sport boring and so forth. And I feel like that's all a matter of opinion. But he did, however, make athletes realize their worth and understand that they could be their own boss. And I feel like we're in a sport that's supposed to be hit and not to hit. And I think that sometimes the casual fan they lose perspective of what boxing is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a phone booth slugfest. You know, the goal is to hit and not get hit. And I think that when he does it, and he did it so well that it looked really easy when it's extremely hard. And he's extremely skilled. And I think that when you're a casual fan, you don't really understand or appreciate a Floyd Mayweather. But the sport is in good hands. You have a lot of upcoming big fights. You have women that are getting more exposure. And I just feel like it's a good time for boxing. And Mayweather did a good thing by leaving the foundation and showing us what's possible.
Yes, yes. And speaking of ladies just being in power, tell me a little bit more about Ladies in Power, the nonprofit you are the co-founder of.
Yes. So my sister and I, we started Ladies in Power actually before I started boxing. And it's a mentorship program for young women and men. And we like to specialize in, you know, education, community activism, you know, mentorship, counseling services. We just want to be an overall program that offers big brother, big sister type of mentorship, because I'm from the inner city of San Francisco, and it's been a challenge growing up at times, you know, just dealing with a lot of issues that come from inner city. And I didn't feel like I had anyone to kind of show me what it meant to, you know, hold your head up high, to feel confident in yourself, to, you know, fill out an application, to create a resume. How do I build my credit? You know, how do I go about applying to colleges? So it's really just a program. And then I also, of course, incorporated boxing and, you know, and about sports and healthy eating and living. So really it's just an overall program that's geared to help, you know, acknowledge and support the youth as they go into adulthood, and then give them all the tools that they need to be successful in life.
Yes, and that is so needed, more now, I think, than ever. So I commend you, I truly commend you for the great work that you're doing with your mentorship program. I hope everyone checks it out. Of course, that is Ladies in Power. And now just going back to you, I know you're newly signed to Lou DiBella Promotions. Tell me a little bit about this move and how it's kind of changed your career for the better.
I'm really excited to be signed under Lou DiBella Promotions. It's helped because as a boxer, a lot of people don't realize, people are always saying, oh, when is your next fight? When is your next fight? But they don't realize that it's just not that easy to just always fight. You know, there's a lot of business that goes into it. There's a lot of politics that goes into it. So for me, being able to finally get signed to a major promotional company, it gives me the platform to have a TV date. It gives me the platform to go for a title. Probably, you know, within my next two fights, I'll be going for the title. So I'm really excited about that. It just gives me more exposure, and it gives me more security in the sense that I'm not out here as my own promoter, because essentially that's what you are until you're signed to someone that kind of gives you a little more of a platform to be able to, you know, chase your dream. So I'm really thankful for signing me, you know, and it's been trailblazing for women. He signed, you know, my best friend and had to be boxer Tierra Brown. She's actually in the DC area. She's amazing. She's a police officer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really exciting to get that support and have a little bit of push for you to be great. So it's good. Thankful.
Nice. I'm glad. So if I understand, so who were you signed to anyone before this, or were you basically, as you said, your own promoter?
No. So I was my own pretty much. I would work with like local promoters from where I'm from. I am in the process of creating my own promotional company. It'll be Prebeast Promotions. But initially I was my own boss and just, you know, out there hustling and making it happen for myself and, you know, finding a way to get on cards and so forth. So now, you know, I'm signing under the Lou DiBella. So that means, you know, they'll call me and say, hey, do you want to fight on this card? This is the opportunity we have for you, as opposed to me just kind of out there hunting for it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it's all about now. You're able to do your own thing now. You don't always have to rely. And I love that you're still, even though you're fine, you still have that passion to do your own promotions and things like that. And, I mean, you're just a living, breathing role model. And, again, I commend you for everything you're doing. And now I can't let you go without talking about the fact that you were a 2012 Olympic alternate. That's huge. I mean, I just think about how, I mean, the Olympics is pretty much the prime games that everyone wants to get to. So tell me just a little bit about that experience and how that was like for you.
That was amazing, especially considering that it was the first time in history women were given the opportunity, to go to the Olympics. So it was really special for me because, to be truthful, I had only been boxing at that time for about a year and a half. So I was pretty much on the fast track. I was you know, trailblazing and just to be there. Unfortunately, as competitive as I am, I can be truthful with you and say it's close with no cigar for me in the sense that, you know, you go, you're a part of Team USA, but not competing is a tough pill to swallow. But putting things in perspective where, you know, probably 10% of the world is actually at that event, being able to represent your country, being able to be a part of history, that is, that's priceless. So it was an amazing opportunity. I was happy to support the women. I was happy to be a part of Team USA. You know, being in London, it was amazing. And it was really, really exciting and really energizing just to see what's possible when you believe in yourself, when you work really hard. Everyone told me I couldn't make it there because I hadn't been boxing long. And I'm a firm believer in don't talk about it, just prove them wrong. And that was one of those moments for me. So it was definitely an amazing opportunity. And I really, really enjoyed myself.
Yes. I mean, we're proud that you were able to represent the USA. And just staying on that, I understand you're also a 10-time national and international medalist on Team USA. So that being said, where do you see the future of women's boxing?
I would like to see women boxing being able to be parallel with the men, where we're looked at as equals. The pay disparity is not so far in between each other. And then also just being able to, you know, have some household names, have a couple of good rivalries, and then have a lot of upcoming women excited about being in the sport and, you know, trailblazing. And then also with the Olympics being an addition, the level of skill has definitely rose and it's gotten better. So I just think that the sport is in good hands, and I feel like in the future you'll see us, you know, headlining some pay-per-view bouts and being a really big card, and not just being able to say, oh, it's the first, but more so, oh, okay, the women are here, they've been here, you know, and we're excited for them as the men, and we stop being female boxers, and then we just become boxers. We become athletes, and not putting a gender on it. It's just, you know, I'm a boxer, just so happen to be female.
Yes, a boxer just so happy to be female. And that being said, my last question for you is, what do you hope your legacy to be once you eventually leave the ring in the future? Even though I know you probably don't ever want to leave it. But what is your lasting legacy? What do you want people to know about Raquel Miller once you finish your boxing career?
My lasting legacy would be that she was a young lady who always believed that she really could. And she never put limits on herself. And she never, you know, said she could only be this. I'm going to be a world champion. I'm going to be a successful business owner. And, you know, if the right guy, you know, comes along, then I'll be, you know, a successful wife and mother, hopefully. So, but I want my legacy to be there was nothing that she couldn't do because she believed that if she worked hard, she manifested it into her life, you know, that nothing wasn't impossible. And she wasn't afraid to use her voice.
Yes, Raquel Miller, thank you so much for joining me. And before I let you go, where can people find you on social media?
So you can find me on Instagram at @MS.RaquelMiller. You can find me on Facebook under the athlete, I mean, under the, you know, pages, and I'm Raquel Miller. It's my athlete page. I'm on Twitter at Miss Pretty Beast. And, you know, my website will be coming soon where they can kind of pick up apparel and then check out my site calendar and stuff like that. Thank you so much. You know, I really, really appreciate it. You're amazing. You're doing great things.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. I'm proud of you. You know, young lady.
Thank you.
Trailblazing yourself. You know, you're awesome. And, you know,
perfect.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much.
This
was fantastic.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening. That's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at @TheRealKNelson. Join the movement across other social media platforms at #ListenInWithKNN. This has been Listen In with KNN. on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.